It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Don Swarthout coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. I'm very happy to be with you today and to discuss this message, which is entitled, Freedom is Not Free. Let me tell you a little about myself first. As the chairman of Christians Reviving America's Values, I have been fortunate to been invited to be a guest speaker in many of our churches in America. I have also been invited to be a special guest on television at Fox News, CNN, TBN, CBN, Daystar, Sky Angel, LaCie, WATC, KWHD, and KRMT, and many, many others. I have been heard on the radio in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. I have written hundreds of press releases. The Associated Press has written many articles about me, which have appeared in the nation's newspapers. I have written two amicus briefs used by the Supreme Court and two books about the ACLU. I have made numerous trips to Washington, D.C. for the purpose of making bold statements to our senators and congressmen. I have also written more than 1.5 million Christians in the United States every year. In these letters, I tell these Christians they are losing their Christian American rights in Washington, D.C. every day. It does not depend upon who is the president of our country. Both the Democrats and Republicans are rich, and they are out of touch with the rest of us. I'm not telling you any of this to make myself seem important to you. I am telling you these things to make myself known to you and to encourage you to take the similar action as I have taken. Freedom is not free. This is to be proven by our thinking about our founders. Our nation was founded by the people who were first sent to find the land which became our nation. They were sent into the land to the United States from Western Europe. They were made up of 104 people who arrived here on the one day in April. They were made up of a bunch of ragtag men, women, and children who washed upon a new shore. They did not bring enough food with them for survival. They did not even have a plan because they were not sure of what they would find if and when they really got here. Only 38 of them survived the first winter. What they did bring with them was a faith in God, courage, a drive to succeed, and a deep feeling in their hearts that God directed them to come to a new world. They also had a belief in their souls that societies meant not to live under a government of tyranny, which is nothing more than the group of mere men. Instead, they believed men were meant to live under God and free. And in Galatians 4:26, the Bible says, "But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." When God said Jerusalem above was free, what he meant was Jerusalem above is heaven. God wants us to live in a nation like heaven, which is free and under God. not a nation which is controlled by a dictator like hell. Galatians 5:1 continues with this idea, in which it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free," which means we are not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This idea goes on in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Lord is that Spirit, and it says there is liberty. I think it is more pointed to say the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is no liberty. God showed me both of these instructive scriptures, which meant God wants us to live free and under God. If you believe in God, this says God thought highly of the freedom of the United States. After the birth of America, God was to produce a declaration and a constitution which were like no one else had ever seen. Within 200 years, these men, with God's help, produced automobiles, electricity, farming techniques, which produces the food of the world, and manufacturing techniques. These men invented, with God's help, all of the important medicines: flight, air conditioning, radios, television, motion pictures, and the telephone, just to name a few of the things they invented. They share the freedom for their creativity, hard work, and their very souls with all the people of the world. Yes, we did too build our schools with our tax money, which is 100% of the support of our government. To say that the fact in America's are the first to help those out, they also became involved in a catastrophe to help those people out. How can anyone not be proud of those accomplishments? We proudly introduced them all to our country. We told them to live free by God. In Genesis 1:26 and 1:28, we were told to take dominion over the earth. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." The Bible says in Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the face of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." God gave us dominion over the earth because we read His word and we believed it. Some of our founders fought the British in the Revolutionary War without shoes. They were followed by the British soldiers tracking their bloody footprints in the snow. This was their way of saying freedom is not free. We have forgotten freedom is costly and hard to keep. Freedom actually costs us everything we have. This is the value of freedom being shown to men by our God. Our men believed in fighting for it and believing in giving their all for our freedom. This was what the greatest generation of Americans believed in too. The greatest generation of Americans is the name given to men and women who fought for all of us in World War II. Both the founders and the greatest generation of Americans believed in fighting for our freedom, and they gave their all for our freedom. The founders and the greatest generation of Americans believed in freedom in their homeland in order to live free. Both of them must have told their opponents, "Oh no, you will not defeat us because we are Americans. We believe in having our freedom. We love our freedom, which allows us to live our lives as we see fit." The freedom we fought for in the Revolutionary War was one that was responsible for our nation becoming the world's number one nation. The greatest nation in the world continued on to be the United States, and it was continued by winning World War II, which they fought on two fronts against all odds. Listen to me. The most important thing the United States offers you is your freedom. You must never lose your freedom because you are to teach others to experience this freedom for themselves. We can learn that the Lord can set us free. What has happened to our desire to be number one? Perhaps the question is, do you want to live in the number one nation in the world or a third world country? I have already made my choice, and I'm wondering, what about you? America was born more than 245 years ago on July the 4th, 1776. America was born out of pain and a hunger to show the world what a belief in God could mean to those that lived here, what God thought about countries like this one. As Americans, we were to establish a brand new country. We believed we would be able to believe in God, our freedom, and a democracy to govern ourselves, and a freedom to earn the American dream. God thought at the first Thanksgiving we could show the world we are blessed by God and our founders' provisions. Over the years, many men would lay down their lives for America and our dream of freedom. The red man would also give his blood as covenants were broken. All of this pain and suffering were to prove that which God said, freedom is not free. So while the sword and cannon spoke, God's pen produced the Constitution, which was written by God. And he told me he had sent his Holy Spirit down to earth to put in the minds of our founding fathers' words. God told me he wrote our Constitution in this way. God said that he guaranteed the passage of the Constitution by creating something which all 13 states could agree upon when they were not able to agree on almost anything. They must not deviate from this Constitution. Nothing can be taken away from our Constitution written by God. If the Supreme Court alters our Constitution, America will not remain standing. As long as the Supreme Court does not touch our Constitution, we will remain one nation under God and stay standing in our freedom. The same of our flag, which was still flying by the dawn's early light, the bright stripes and bright stars told of a new nation being born. The flag was still waving over the home of the free and the land of the brave. Many wars were fought by this new land, even the Civil War, which was fought by brother against brother. Finally, the red, white, and blue won this war, which was fought over slavery. This war had killed more people from our country than any other war has today, which proves freedom is not free. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal from the Declaration of Independence, from which we must not deviate, to the message taken from the lady who said, "Give me your hungry and your tired masses. They will rest on my shore." America would become the promised land of checks and balances. Three divisions of government would equally tip the scale. This is the nation that would become the land of the free. Today, our nation has more than 3 million laws on our books. Maybe we should hire people to take them off. But anyway, the laws replaced the Ten Commandments, which were taken away by the Supreme Court. Prayer has been taken out of school events, and God has been taken out of the process of graduation. Our people are being oppressed by drugs, alcohol, legalized pot, pornography, STDs, HIV, and millions of our babies are being aborted. All the while, God says many of our people are not trying to retain God in their knowledge. They are being given over by God to reprobate minds. They profess themselves to be wise, and they become fools. Something must be done, and soon. It cannot happen without divine intervention. This is the day we must hear from heaven. God has guided us for many years. Now we must hear from heaven as we ask God to forgive our sin and to heal our land. Jesus died to make men holy, so we live to make men godly and free. Next, let us pray. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we pray you will grant us mercy. Your truth is marching on. O Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's mighty name, we pray that you will grant us mercy. And the generation to a generation that has lost its way, we pray you will grant us the right to say, in God we trust. We pray we will be able to say, one nation under God. Heavenly Father, as a generation, we refuse to give up. We will stand as one, humble ourselves, pray, seek your face, and turn from our wicked ways. You have promised to come and heal our land, and we are praying your anointing is with us so we can be set free. Listen, Lord, a generation is rising up to our purpose and our goal, which is to set our generation on fire for you, and we will win its call. Our purpose is winning souls for you, O God, and saving America. There is one more thing. I am called to serve God, and so are the rest of the people in this room called to serve God too. We are dependent upon God to establish our freedom in America and to teach other people how to live free. You have called all of us to serve you. You can serve God by going to church every time the door is open. You can take others to church. You can make sure that others are saved by saying the salvation prayer, Romans 10:9-13. And then live life like you are for Jesus Christ. Amen. You can become God's helper and living a life like Jesus Christ lived, or you can continue to be a chair warmer, like each time you go to church, like you are today. You have been called by God to be his helper. I think that you are thinking something like, well, you know, I have to work to support myself and those around me. Wait a second. What about Jesus Christ? He worked for Joseph most of his life. Can't you work and live like Jesus did? Jesus accomplished his ministry in 3 years. So what is the problem? If you are called by God, you have never felt that anything was so true. Besides, God has called us all to serve him. Nothing could be more true than this statement. If you are called by God, you have felt that nothing was so true. God has called you to serve Him. We are proud of God, freedom, democracy, and the concept of working to achieve the American dream. I watched as my friend desired to become a physician. Some people will do better than others. That is just the way it is. My friend and I made our choices to achieve the American dream. He became a doctor, and I did not. His choices were more likely to lead to him making more money and making it quicker than my choices were. So should we be penalized for making these choices? No, we were both free men living in a free country. All you must do to earn the American dream is to work whenever your boss asks you to. Keep your nose clean, take care of your money, and I would say that that is a small price to pay for achieving the American dream. We can achieve the American dream if we are willing to work for it. It may take you from age 20 to age 60, but what a small price to pay. You can work to achieve the American dream and be called by God. I ought to know. I was there, so I guess I ought to know. Reminds me of another Johnny Cash tune. I'm just an old piece of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. If you are not sure God has forgiven you of all your sins, trust me when I tell you God has had His Son to die to forgive all of your sins. So you should forgive yourself. This is true if you have asked for His forgiveness or not. Either you have asked and are forgiven, or He will forgive you when you ask Him to forgive all of your sin. God has always been in the business of forgiving sins when you ask Him to forgive you. This was true of Adam and Eve, and He forgave the first murderer in the Bible, Cain, for killing Abel. And if God can forgive someone for murder, maybe He can forgive you. Now we must follow God's commands and know at the same time He loves you. Why don't you ask Him to forgive all of your sins right now? Come to this altar and ask Him for forgiveness right now. If you aren't sure God has forgiven all of your sins because you have not asked Him, this is the love of God. Come to this altar now. I understand why you don't want to come, but let me guarantee you that you will feel better than you feel right now. You will feel great. This is the last time that I will ask you. Come right now. You will feel great when you ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive all of your sin out loud. Say the name of your sin that you want to be forgiven of. Ask Him to forgive all your sins by mentioning by name each sin you can remember. Then ask Him to forgive you of all of your sin. But just say that you want to be forgiven for all of your sin. Now, let me ask you, if you were to spend the amount of time dedicated to God you spend golfing or at a gym, or the amount of time you spend watching television, or the amount of time you spend with your computer, where would that lead for Jesus? Whether we know it or not, right now is a time to return to a belief in God. We do not want our children to suffer in a tragedy like ancient Israel suffered when they were spread across the globe. We had better get busy and act. If you want to spend time dedicated to Christianity, if you live like Jesus, what could you get done for Him? Why don't you live like Jesus would have you live today? If you are too busy to help the King of Kings, maybe you should ask, what if the Lord were too busy to help you when you needed him, to say to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you will call upon the name of the Lord and Jesus Christ will not respond to you because he does not know you. Or maybe he will not respond to you because he is too busy to help you. We will all need Jesus someday. Maybe you could help those who just need to talk, or maybe you could help those in prison. Maybe you could help those that are addicted, or maybe you could help those who need a Lord and a Savior like Jesus Christ. You must rededicate your life to Jesus Christ if you want to make a first-time confession to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come and dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. We will say the prayer of salvation found in Romans 10, 9-13. I want all of you to come. Just come. Come and repeat the prayer of salvation after me. I will ask you to come just one more time. Come, all of you, to this altar. You may rededicate your life, or you can make certain you are saved and on your way to heaven when you die. Or you can make a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please come, all of you. Come and repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are saved right now. Put your hands together and thank God for your salvation. Remember to run to Jesus Christ and not away from him, because he is your help in a time of trouble. We are in a huge spiritual battle right now in the United States of America. Only God, Jesus Christ, and God's Holy Spirit, and some Christians, know the facts told in the Bible. Learn the facts told to you in the Bible, and then you will be able to survive what is coming. God is a mighty and good God who allows you to have the chance to have eternal life. Let me tell you that what God says in James 4:7, God says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Please listen to me. The devil is not afraid of your tears. The devil is only afraid of your joining the battle to fight against him. He is afraid of you becoming one of those who fights against him. That is what the devil fears. The devil fears nothing except you joining the battle to fight against him. This is Pastor Don Swarthout. You can call me at 850-736-8613 to learn about the openings I have in my ministry. If I am busy when you call, leave a number so I can call you back. Thank you and have a blessed day.
This has been Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 3571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.